Because of the sermon series and the desire to have the ability to have more praise and thanks songs following the message, we've changed our order up just a little bit from what we normally do. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 12. And as we make your way there, as we make another step towards Thanksgiving, last week our focus was on the experience of thanks and gratitude. An experience of thanks that is either helped or hindered by the inward attitude of our hearts, as well as the outward attention of our eyes. If the inward attitude of a person's heart is prideful, they will seek glory and honor for themselves instead of giving glory and honor to God. And experiencing thanks with a prideful heart is difficult, if not impossible. Pride will feed the perception that possessions or relationships or the experiences in life just aren't good enough for them. And if the outward attention of a person's eyes are on what others have as opposed to what they have themselves have, and the focus is on, I don't have what other people have, if that is the case, experiencing thanks will be difficult, if not impossible. There's always going to be somebody who has more than what you have. Instead of being content and grateful for what they do have, they will be envious and jealous about what other people have and will in turn be ungrateful for what they do have. Today we're going to make the jump or make the move from experiencing the experiencing of thanks to the expressing of thanks. When it comes to expressing thanks, I don't think the natural disposition of a human heart is to say thank you. Just think about how much work goes into if you've had the task of raising up a child. Just think of how much work it takes to get that young child to say things like please or thank you on a regular basis. Now, I've never been in a position of raising up a young child, but I get the impression from those who have had to go through that process and who have had that responsibility that nurturing a polite child takes years of consistent and persistent effort. It takes steady reinforcement and regular reminders to get that child to the point where they more naturally respond and say things like please or thank you. And even those polite words can sound a little bit more like the product of being nurtured instead of natured. They can sound like it's a behavior that they've been trained to say rather than something that comes from the inside, like something that's a habit instead of something that comes from the heart. Now, over at Elam, during the course of the week, there's somebody in my program area, and it's nobody here. So we have some very polite residents joining with us today, but there's somebody else who's a part of our program area who really struggles. They came into Elam for our daytime services, and they came into their residential home that they live in this past year, and they came in with a very negative posture and attitude, an unappreciative attitude towards others. Sometimes it can be flat out disrespectful, like, hey, go do this for me, that kind of an attitude. Because of that attitude, various staff over at Elam, including myself, we wait until we hear some of those magic words before we assist them with some of the things that they need assistance with. And then we also hang around after we've helped them with something to hear those other follow-up magic words of thank you. Now, why do we do that? Because we want to nurture a more appreciative communication coming out of this person that they apparently didn't have fostered within them as they grew up. And while it is a nice improvement to finally hear this person saying please and thank you every day, the greater hope is for this person to actually mean those words instead of just treating those words like this is what I need to do to get what I need. We want it to come from the heart. And with that, let's go ahead and read from Matthew chapter 12. Go ahead and stand with me as I read Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 33 through 37. Matthew 12, beginning in verse 33. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you, that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. Now, in the very same way that a tree can very easily be identified by the fruit that it produces, a Christian should be easily identified by the words that come out of their mouths. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. While this truth applies to all of our words in general, this especially applies to our words of gratitude and thanksgiving in particular. If grumbling is what is going on in a person's heart, that grumbling will make the journey out through the lips. And if gratitude is going on in a person's heart, that too will make the journey out through a person's lips. Now, one way to hear this passage of Scripture narrowing in specifically on words of gratitude or grumbling might sound something like this. The grateful man brings grateful things out of the gratefulness stored up in him, and the grumbling man brings grumbling things out of the grumbling stored up in his heart. The description in Scripture that we have of the relationship between a person's heart and their mouth gives a strong impression that what is going on in a person's heart doesn't just stay there. If grumbling is in a person's heart, it doesn't just stay there. It can't be contained forever. It can't help itself. It some way, somehow has to make its way out. It gets stored up until there's no more room left, and it spills out through a person's words and their actions. If gratitude, however, is in a person's heart, it doesn't just stay there. It can't be contained forever. It can't help itself but get out some way, somehow. It gets stored up until there's no more room left, and it has to spill out in the same way through a person's words and actions. Now, the word express in Latin, in its origin, it means to press out. Think of this in terms of this little water bottle here. Actually, I'm going to take a quick sip because I can already tell. Express, to press out. Think of it in terms of this bottle here. You apply just a little bit of pressure. If I had the top off of there, if I applied just a little bit of pressure on the outside of this bottle, its inward contents are going to make its way out. It's going to spill out all over the place. And the same goes for people who live their lives in this world. And in this world, people regularly experience pressure on their lives through their encounters. Sometimes when that happens, a person may respond to a bad encounter in this world with harsh words full of anger, bitterness, or worse. When that happens, there is a temptation for a person to say that the negative experience is what made them act out in that way, to say that it is the fault of the experience for them saying horribly mean things or doing something horribly mean, where in reality, what came out of that person was there all along. The experience did not make them act or speak in a mean way. What the experience or encounter did was reveal what that person had already stored up inside all along. Their expression, what came out, was a result of what was already deep inside in their heart. The question we need to ask ourselves today as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, is this: what is spilling out of our lives? Or to put it another way, what is being expressed when we encounter pressure in all of its forms? If what we outwardly express is related to what we inwardly experience, what others in our world regularly encounter is a sneak peek into our hearts through the words of our mouth. Now, while I routinely say at the end of a message, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer," as a conclusion, like I said, to a sermon, that prayer really should be an everyday prayer, not just a prayer I pray at the end of a sermon on a Sunday, because my outward words and my inward meditations at work need to be just as pleasing to the Lord as here. And my outward words and my inward meditations need to be pleasing to the Lord in my home as well. And my outward words and my inward meditations need to be pleasing to the Lord in all of the interactions that I have outside of church, outside of work, and outside of home. And here is something that is pleasing to God. When God's beloved children recognize the myriad of ways in which God has blessed them, and when they respond to those blessings by giving Him thanks, and giving Him thanks, glory, and honor. Expressions of thanks and gratitude to God is a natural part of that natural order that I talked about last week. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 through 20 tells us, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I know that there are times and places where many of you have had opportunities to share and give thanks for things that God has done in your life and in the lives of those you know. Now, for us, Sunday school time downstairs is one of those times where people are more easily able to share the things that are going on and to give praise and to give up prayer requests, the things that are going on. It's easy to do that. But the time and space in our worship service doesn't normally include those opportunities for voices of people giving testimonies and sharing what God is doing, which is why today I wanted to do things a little bit differently as we do this series on giving thanks. last week and at the beginning of this service, I gave a heads up invitation to be thinking about something you may feel led to share as a part of this service, an opportunity to express gratitude for something as a way to give God glory. So what I'll do now is I'll have my wife, actually I'll have her use one of these microphones up here. The red one. My beautiful assistant, she'll be my Vanna White for this morning. And so what I'll ask is if anybody has some testimony that they'd like to share, giving God thanks or things that are going on, just lift your hand up. She'll make her way around, and that way you can use that. And I'll go last, so you will book
in. Since I just want to get it over with. So many of you know I work at Elam. Many of you prayed for me to get that job at Elam. And I know this year has been difficult with the restructuring in my team, and I've grumbled a lot about it. But I am so thankful for my job. Mm-hmm. It is such a blessing from God. It has helped us financially, to help us get out of debt. I mean, before the Compass grant came along, mm-hmm. like we were working hard and we saw a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And it's a blessing to work with, you know, Janice and Johnny and Maria and the students over there. I love being able to see you guys around. And even in the depths of the summer when I was like, oh God, what am I gonna do? I mean, I didn't even have to pray about it. I just knew in my soul, Elam is where I need to be. And like Ryan always says, it's a pre-blessed job working for the least of these. It's such a blessing. And I'm so thankful for God that the right job opened up for me to be there mm-hmm. and to help us. And I mean, I needed a job closer to home. How much closer can I get? Honestly, yeah. So.
And that's been a blessing I've enjoyed from the very beginning of moving up here and going close to 5 years now. But,
yeah, so,
but I know there's lots of prayers for you for that job. So.
Yeah, so I just want to say thank you for your prayers. Thank you to God for this job. It's been a big blessing for us. So, Larry, I saw you first.
I probably don't need a mic, but I wanted to be to get up and talk. I've been so blessed I could probably talk the rest of the program for all how I've been blessed. You go, well, that's good for you. Well, what about me? Well, do you sleep this night with a roof over your head? Well, you're blessed. Most people in the world don't have a roof over their head. Do you have something to eat the last day or two? Most people world has some meat the last day or two. So we believe it or not, you are blessed. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, I come across this book. It's called 1,000 Gifts. And what it is this author got challenged by a friend to write 1,000 things that God blessed him with. Go, that's easy for them to say, but you don't know this woman's story to begin with. She had a rough, she didn't get saved until probably early 20s, because she had a rough life before that. She wasn't saved. Anyway, she did reach 1,000 gifts, and she didn't stop. I remember that the second, you think, well, what kind of things did she write? The second gift she wrote, jam piled high on the toast. Yeah. Wow, that's something, right. See, so many things we take for granted. Another thing was she wrote when she was doing dishes, the bubbles in the soap. You ever see bubbles in the soap, how it's iridescent? All these little things we take for granted, all God's little blessings that he gives us. And I challenge you, first off, if you can, 1,000 gifts, make your own list. And it says she never stops. Mm-hmm. We are so blessed in so many ways. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm so thankful to be back at Elam Payless Campus, because I never had no reaction from Orland, but Ryan blesses my heart every day, and I really love Ryan.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Janice.
Sorry. Hi. me, Johnny, how are you? I'm just so glad that I could be here with Janice and Maria and all the staff. They bring me joy to this house. And I want to say thank you because, and thank you for my boss and my other at the same Vincent Paul and Joyette let me to be a new cashier, train me to be the new cashier. So I'm just thankful that all my friends and my workers here at Austin. Hope you guys have a wonderful day. And thank you so much for everything you do.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord. I have a book at home, a journal. It's called Miracle Prayer Journal. And boy, I tell you, the smallest thing, I write it in because I'm like, this is from God. This is not just something that happened. Oh, it's a coincidence. Mm-hmm. It's from God. And I write it in there all the time, write them in there all the time. And when Larry was talking about that woman, the book, oh my gosh, that's so true because mm-hmm. I have told certain people about something that happened and they're like, oh, that's just a coincidence. I'm like, oh no. Oh no, this is God, this is God. But I did want to thank the Lord for our freedom to worship because boy, without that, I just thank the Lord.
I've had two fathers. My mother married and I had my first father. They got divorced and my second father was my stepfather. And up until I was 16, going on 17, he threw me out of the house on the street. I lived there on the street until I was 18 and joined the military. That was
what he taught him. Oh, get another. Oops. Yep, we got this one. I saw the red light on there earlier. It was on its way.
Testing? Okay. So my name is Denisha. I am staff. I work at Beshan. And I'm just grateful to be able to serve God's people, mm-hmm. God's children. Mm-hmm. I love them so much. My brother, he'll be 19 next Thursday. And we found out that he had cancer. So I'm just grateful for a company like Beshan because I left for 6 months to help my mom with him, and now I'm back. Uh-huh. So when I help them, I learn patience and
amen.
Just kindness. Yeah, you have to have a lot of patience. But like I feel good going home knowing that I've done something to serve God's people.
Amen.
So in the midst of me helping my brother because he has autism as well. He'll be starting college at UIC for January. He's cancer-free, thank God. So I'm just grateful just to be here and to have peace.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to share something they're thankful for, grateful for?
Told me to come on the my work, and I ended up, the Lord asked me to come out to Joliet, and I came out for a job in Joliet. That was 30 years ago. I was going to church in Nazarene in, on Bridge Road for a while, and met a lot of wonderful people there. Mm-hmm. And since then, I met a young lady, and I married a young lady out here, and got married, and I have wonderful grandchildren, and I have a family here now. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I pretty much thought that I had come to the end of my road. I thought the Lord was ready for me, and instead, He wasn't. Mm-hmm. He healed me, He cured me, and I am cancer-free now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm a member of this church, which I'm very happy, to be part of.
We're happy too.
And I've been through a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, when life comes to an end, you think it's making a turn, and you think you've come to your end. And the door opens, and you walk through, and it's not. And it's a blessing to do that and to go through that. And it just seems like life carries me on to another path. And he's not done with me yet. Yeah. He's still using me as much as he can. And I'm grateful that I can be a help and do things that I can do. But I'm going.
Amen.
I really, and I'm thankful for all he's done for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? Okay.
I don't think I would need this either, but maybe this morning. I'm thankful for cough syrup. I'm thankful for so many things that, you know, like Larry said, I could take up the whole rest of the service, giving God glory for how he's moved in my life and in my family's life. I'm thankful that my son is alive when he could have been taken on the highway with a shooting. I think of my special needs granddaughter that we almost lost her several times because of various issues that she's had. And sometimes I wonder why she has to suffer the way she does, but yet I've seen in my daughter-in-law's and my son's life how particularly my daughter-in-law had plans and dreams, and God changed everything in her life with the birth of this little one. And now she's in a position where she can help people that are desperate, that have this spina bifida, that they don't have the resources that she and my son do. And such a blessing that she's being able to be to other people. So sometimes we see a pinhole of a tapestry and God sees the whole thing. And I think of my daughter taking over a business that was like, either take it over or we're gonna sell it, it's gonna die. And, you know, she's prayed for God to open doors, and therapists are knocking on her doors, hey, can I have a job? And she's standing back in awe. And I think of where she was when she was a teenager and how many times I prayed for her because I didn't know where she was. I know she was lost, but she's been found. And now, and she said one time that, you know, she works at a counseling center, and she says, we bring the healer into the room. And I think, oh, my Lord, how far you've brought her. I'm so grateful to him. I can never express my thanks. I'm thankful for my hubby. I'm thankful for this lady back here who hands me a cough drop because I'm struggling. You know, God's people are so good. And I can never express, and I thank for my mom who led me to the Lord. There's just no end to the Thanksgiving, how good he is. And I saw a little sign after Joel got shot in Cracker Barrel. It just says thankful. I'm like, that is me, thankful for how good he is.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? Oh, there you go.
I am grateful and thankful for prayers for everybody who has prayed for me and my husband. I am just grateful that I am here because of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yep. One of those walking miracles. It's yep, for sure. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. There you go.
my glasses off because I'm going to need to wipe my eyes more than I need to see. I'm thankful for our Christian heritage and the legacy that my in-laws have left behind. These last several months have been very difficult for everybody. But yesterday at the funeral, we were reminded of all the things that they did before they became who they became. And I think it's going to take a long time for us to get over the grief of losing that. You know, we lost. Clyde has changed so, had changed so much over the last year or so. And it's hard. I think I forgot what it was like before then. And so I'm thankful that he left a legacy of Christianity. He said to me one time, you know, he was a Nazarene pastor, and then he became a Messianic Jew. And he said to me the other one day, he says, I just am so sorry that I led so many people astray. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you know, I was a preacher for so long and I led people astray. I said, did you encourage people to read their Bible? Yeah. Did you encourage people to pray? Yeah. Did you encourage people to believe in Jesus? Yes. You didn't lead them astray. You led them where they needed to be. So, but I'm thankful I'm actually thankful that Carl and I had the chance that we have had to get closer to them and to be able to help them as much as we could. But and I thank you all for your prayers, because it would have been very, I can't imagine what it would have been like trying to do this without your intercession and God's help. So thank you all.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? Last call, I'll finish, okay.
There's no other words than to say glory, glory to his name. Mm-hmm. I've only got 90 years here, so we may be here a while. No, I won't go on, but I have many things to be thankful for over my years. I was raised in a Christian home. Very young, I started out going to a country church. But they sang and they praised God there then. And I'm thankful that I'm still going to the Nazarene church. That was a Nazarene church then. It's been a Nazarene church all my life, where I belonged. But I'm thankful for the Church of the Nazarene and what it stands for. Mm-hmm. I hope it never lowers its standards. I thank God today for his glorious son, and that he loves even me. Mm-hmm. And his Holy Spirit is ever with us, no matter where we're at. Praise his name.
Amen. Yes, that generational blessing, like we were talking about with that opening psalm of one generation telling the next, you know, the generation of your parents to you, to your daughter, to your granddaughter, to your great-grandchildren, you know, that is a blessing. That's a gift that keeps on giving for sure. Anybody else want to share? So mine, mine was a pretty easy one to fix because of the proximity to a certain project getting completed just a few days ago. Actually, if we put the picture up, you can see some of you, if you're only here during the daytime, you'd never see this, but this is a chance for you to see a picture. This is the new completed, the chimney work that was all redone with a new cross and getting everything reworked up there. It is a beautiful sight to behold. I find myself looking out the window from the parsonage at night on a regular basis just to see it again, shining nice and bright. And there's an actual, there's a, some of you maybe have heard of Easter eggs, not the Easter eggs from Easter time, but first I used to play video games a lot, and sometimes video games, people that would make these games would hire what they called Easter eggs, little secret things hidden into the game that if you went and you found a certain thing, it'd be something fun you could find. Well, when Paul, who used his gifts and abilities to help get all that project done up there, was working on, took that whole top part off because it was really worn and weathered, there was what I will call an Easter egg up there that we'll go ahead and share. This is, if you can't see it, it says, "Praise the Lord." So my praise the Lord is the chimney work that's been completed. So somebody long ago when they built that, they just kind of scribbled that in there in the mortar. Praise the Lord. And so my praise the Lord this morning is for the completion of that. We don't have a toothpick anymore. We have a cross. And that comes from even before I even started here. And I'll just say this too, and over the years, you know, I started here, and even in recent years, there's always been a feeling like there's something else we need to get done before we're ready for guests, before we're ready for what God wants to do next. And in my mind, I've always kind of had this little checklist of, well, we need to do this too. We need to get the kids area ready. And some of all those things have been completed along the way. But in the back of my mind, I've thought, we still have a toothpick. We need to get that fixed. And so every time I look out and I see that brightly lit cross above the church, I just have this feeling like we're ready. Like we're open for business. We're ready. We want the neighborhood to see us and find us and come. And we're ready to share God's love and share the good news of the gospel with our community. And so it's just a wonderful sign, like I said, to look up and see that brightly lit cross. And so I'm thankful for those who have the gifts and abilities to do that sort of work. Gave me a heart attack a few weeks ago when Paul was standing on top of the mortar, on top of the thing. I'm looking up like, oh my goodness. I climbed up on the roof a few times myself, but not doing that. But I'm thankful for the gifts and abilities that God has given each and every one of us to use in the ways that he has for us as a part of this church. And so thank you, Paul, so much for that. Very much. Huh? Paul H. We have the old Paul and the new Paul. So we've got multiple Pauls here. We got another newer Paul, too. So we got old Paul, new Paul, newer Paul. We got lots of Pauls, but thank you for that. So go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and close. Like I said, we saved a few Thanksgiving songs for the following. So with all of those testimonies, with all of those expressions of gratitude and thanks to God, let's go ahead and close with a few songs.